You know, I'm down the beach at the moment.
Beautiful.
Sitting on the balcony.
West Coast of Victoria. Yep, fantastic. Love it.
And, it's great. I mean, you have to wear a mask in the surf. Whatever. We're in Victoria. No, you don't. But you do when you have to go into shops still. And yeah. Fair enough. And I've worked out one rule of the beach, and you're a big beach goer. I'm not such a big... I love it, but I don't go that often.
Yeah.
This is my rule, right? If you're about to go into the surf, if you take your shirt off and you're just in your bathers, you've got to run into the surf.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. And then run, then do a big dive.
Yeah, no matter how unfit and fat you are, I reckon it's the Baywatch factor. You've just got to run into the surf. Yeah.
And did you do it?
Yeah, I ran, but I didn't do the big dive. I'd go, ooh, it's cold, and then it gets up to your, testicles. You're like, oh, my God, it's so cold. But it's actually warm at the moment, so it's
about,
nice.
I reckon the water's about, in Victoria, the water's about 18 degrees, which is pretty hard work. And when you compare to, like, up around Queensland, it's probably 27 degrees. My other rule of the beach,
this is the rule of the surf. If you've got a wetsuit on, you know more than anyone else. It's just it's the way it goes, I reckon. People with wetsuits, people just assume you know stuff.
Oh, really? In terms of being at the beach? Or
in terms of waves and stuff like that. You're like, you know, you got a wetsuit on, you know what you're talking about, apparently.
I think people
look up to you if you have a wetsuit on.
It's like putting a tea towel over your shoulder when you're making coffee. It's just, you know exactly what you're doing.
Yeah.
And now tell me, I bought Alex a wetsuit for his birthday, friend of the show, Alex. I said to him, have you christened it yet? And he said, what do you mean? I said, have you urinated in it? And he hasn't. And it's actually quite hard for men folk to urinate in a wetsuit. My brother used to do it standing on the beach before he went in, which was pretty...
I've done it, but I did it in the dressing room at the surf shop when I was trying it on. I said, Grant, I'll take this one.
Have we got some sort of appropriate surf music or something?
Surf music would be good, wouldn't it? No. Anyway, happy January to everyone. Happy January.
Yes, absolutely. I guess we onward and upward, hopefully, somehow related, continues on. We've been getting some nice reviews, and we'd love some reviews from you online as well. If
me?
Not you. No, people. We got one. We got one international thing. It was very impressive. They didn't.
Ooh.
Yeah, it was a smoking review. So anyway,
there we go.
Little do they know that I urinate in my wetsuit when I go to the beach. Oh, okay.
Oh, there it is.
Here comes here comes Wipeout. Digga 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 digga. No, we couldn't have that because we haven't got the rights to.
Great song.
Yeah.
Hello and welcome to Somehow Related. Now please welcome your hosts, Glenn Robbins and Dave O'Neill.
Okay, well, let's see what happens. So, Sam is listening in, and I don't know.
Needs to give us some topics.
Yeah, okay.
Anyway,
okay.
Sam, what are the topics?
Jamaica Sloan Rangers and chocolate milk.
Oh, what? This is unprecedented.
Is that my fault? Is that my fault?
Your fault. Unprecedented times. We have to pivot now.
We'll have to pivot. Yes.
We'll pivot. A three-way thing. That's too hard.
It is too hard, and it's never occurred to me that. See, this is where Sam's good. She realizes that we need to pivot, as you say, and she's gone and seen the potential. But who would have thought Somehow Related could be a Somehow Related three-way? She's broken the mold.
She's broken the mold. Good. Maybe she thought of sounding a bit tired the way it was. She's thinking of these January reruns. Oh, no, they're new ones. Yeah. Oh.
No, she's good. Okay. Jamaica, you've been there, haven't you?
No, I've never been to Jamaica. I would love to go to Jamaica. Never been. No, I know Kate Lambrook. Kate Lambrook's mum's Jamaican or part Jamaican, so she's been to Jamaica. Right. That's my closest contact to Jamaica.
Jamaica? And, no, she went of her own accord. Yeah, bang! Yeah, there it is. Dad joke early. Yeah, that's
Jamaica.
Right.
Yeah. Jakarta? No, went on the bus.
Isn't that where Hussein Bolt comes from?
Yes.
A lot of good runners from Jamaica. A lot of good runners, man.
Oh, yeah. You just drop into that accent, don't you, man?
Yeah. Aren't they the coolest people?
The coolest.
And reggae. They love a bit of reggae.
Reggae came from Jamaica. Reggae and ska, one of my favorite music forms, came from Jamaica. And, yeah, fantastic. I'd love to go there.
Oh, it'd be good. And they're quite religious, aren't they? I think they get more churches per square mile. Yeah, very religious.
I thought when they're like Bob Marley and, you know, those guys, they just worship the weed, don't they?
Worship
the weed. Isn't that part of their religion?
When you go to church on Sunday, they don't pass around the plate. They
pass around the joint. Is this love? Is this love? Is this love?
Are they part of the? They're part of the Commonwealth, aren't they?
Jamaica? Yeah, yeah, yeah. Because that was in the Crown, wasn't it? They visit Jamaica in the Crown.
Yeah. So,
I think Jamaica. Yeah, but I don't know whether they still are. I have no idea. But they certainly were 60 years ago. They were when the Crown visited. Because they were formed. Jamaica was all those islands around there, the West Indies and all that. There was a lot of slavery. They used to use them as ports for the slaves and stuff. So a lot of slaves settled those islands. So that's all I know.
They love the rum, don't they?
Yes. Yeah.
They love the rum.
Used to be a lot of pirate action around there. There's like places called Treasure Bay and stuff like that.
I must admit, we live in Melbourne, Australia, and it's a very multicultural city. I don't think I've ever met someone who's Jamaican. Have you?
Yeah, I met a taxi driver once. He said he was Jamaican. Yeah. Yep.
He would have been a cool cat.
Yeah, he had the great voice and stuff.
Yeah, I know. They just have that great... like the West Indians, they just have this voice, real cool... Man. Yeah, yeah.
And you hear people still doing it on ads too. You hear the... there's one on... when we listen to you on 3AW, the kids piss themselves laughing because there's like, is he clean? it's so clean to clean your house with Easy Clean. And you're like, is that a Jamaican guy? Just some white guy putting the voice on. Easy Clean.
That ad.
Yeah. Is that you?
No, that's me. Yeah, that's me. Yeah, Easy Clean.
Yeah, that's it. Easy Clean. Because there was a stage in the 80s. There was a lot of ads with Jamaican.
Lime Fresh.
Lime Fresh. The
first
soap.
Time.
Yeah, the soap.
Yeah, the soap. With, the soap. Yeah. Soap with streaks of lime. Lime fresh. Fresh lime.
Yeah.
Hey, now, sorry, but I've gone early. I reckon that's great. That when we hear that, we're just going to feel how... Sure, it's for our older listeners, but that was an ad. Lime what fresh. Is it, 70s probably?
No, 80s, I reckon. 80s? Maybe very early 80s, lime fresh. Yeah, when they marketed that soap. Yeah, it's interesting because they do use... There was a stage where they were using Jamaican voices in ads. There was KFC ads and stuff, too, with Jamaican...
What's a trend start? Stuff.
Yeah.
It's not like advertising just to follow a trend, is it?
That's yeah, crazy. Man.
Yeah. I tell you something about Jamaica that I read the other day. Ian Fleming wrote James Bond there.
Oh, yeah. Well,
I think he set up a place. He set up a place there. So,
well, the Brits used to go there on holiday, like, you know, as we saw on the Crown, Queen Margaret, Princess Margaret, sorry, she used to...
Yeah, she used to hang. Yeah, that's what she did too.
Which is part of that area. She had an island. So, man, I'd love to go there. Get some reggae music.
And those drums they play. Those steel drums.
Yeah. Yeah.
Now, surely on Spicks and Specs, which appeared on 60 times, I think, they had someone playing the steel drums at some point.
Yeah, there would have been a steel drum player at one point.
Oh, such a cool sound.
It is. I was going to do it, but I don't know how it sounds. Well, I know what you mean. Yeah, the steel drum's awesome.
Okay, we got...
Rastafarians. See, Rastafarians, that's their religion. And they do. It's from Ethiopia originally, I think, or somewhere like that. And they do, in their religion, there's a bit of a worship of the marijuana plant. There's something to do with marijuana plants in there. Because that's where they go. This is part of our religion. You don't understand. Good religion.
Take my hat off to that.
Bob Marley was Jamaican. He had some of the best songs. You know, Is This Love? Is This Love? You know that one?
Do you like, yeah, do you steer like, it up. I'm not, I don't love reggae music.
Yeah,
and stuff.
I like it.
You don't mind?
I like
it.
Yeah, I
can
like
just
it.
See you walking down the street yeah, with your headset on, getting the.
Yeah, I'll be one of those white Rastafarians. Have you seen those guys? You know, the guys get the dreadlocks and they have the reggae colours. The reggae colours are what, yellow, green, and black, maybe. And they have you get your big crocheted sort of tea cozy on your head, and you. What happened to Dave O'Neill? Oh, he moved to Jamaica. He's a white Rastafarian now. He speaks like this, man. You know.
Hey, Dave. Yeah. Look, that looks not working for you. What?
With a ghetto blaster on my shoulder, walking along. Yeah. Bit of Bob Marley, steer it up.
What happened to Dad? I don't know. Yeah,
no, he found religion. Oh, what is he? A born again Christian, like a ScoMo religion? No, he's a Rastafarian.
Wasn't there a movie made about? Oh,
we watched it. Cool Runnings.
Yeah,
we about watched it the other night. It's the fantastic
bobsled team.
That's a really for anyone who's got kids. That is a really funny movie, and it's not rude, and it's really funny. And John Candy's so funny.
Is it based in fact?
Yes, and the black guys in it. One's a rapper in real life. They're very funny. I don't know who they are, but it is actually a really funny movie because you know you saw. I remember seeing it in the '80s years ago. But it still stands up, and it's and also it's got that element of competition. So
yeah, right.
And you know, fish out of water. They go to from a hot country. They go to Canada to compete in the Olympics.
It's set up, perfectly.
But yeah, it's based on a true story.
Okay.
Well recommended. Cool Runnings. Really funny.
Chocolate milk. We've talked about. Yeah, it's funny. Yeah. I reckon Sam's worked out that we've talked of late. We've talked about chocolate milk a couple of times, and we've also talked about Milo a couple of weeks ago. That's why she's thrown in the third topic to mix it up a little bit. So we can just quickly talk about chocolate milk. Anything? Is there anything we haven't already said?
Well, chocolate milk's interesting because I mean, did someone? Someone must have invented it. I mean, we just assume that. Once you had milk and once you had cocoa, that it was a natural fit. But maybe it was actually someone made the point of doing it and then marketing it. You know what I mean? Like, it must have been in the 18th century or something.
You're saying there was a time when there wasn't chocolate milk?
Yeah.
It's not like the Egyptians were building the pyramids and they're going, geez, what are you doing for lunch? Oh, I just have chocolate milk and a sandwich. Let's not get into what the answer might be, but you do wonder about cocoa and you wonder about Jamaica. Where is cocoa farmed?
Well,
It's a warmer climate. Mm-hmm,
South America. South America. Yeah. Jamaica's off South America. So, yeah, there'd be no reason why they wouldn't grow cocoa in South America. Chocolate milk's interesting. When you go to South Australia, they have that Farmers Union chocolate milk. Now, when I did a gig in Whyalla, I kept seeing like young people walking around with big bottles of it. And I said to the taxi driver, are they putting stuff in that milk? And he goes, nah, they just love it here. And they do. They sell the most chocolate milk per capita in Australia, in Adelaide, in South Australia.
Well, I must admit.
They love chocolate milk.
An icy cold chocolate milk. I would drink it myself. And once you start to drink it, you can't stop.
Oh,
you can't stop. If it's with a straw, you're going, I'm going to drink this whole thing. And then, but the problem is you end up with all that white stuff in your mouth and it's not a good look, you know.
I think also, you know, when we grew up, Big M was marketed. And Big M was
it was all about the beach image, wasn't it?
Big M girls.
Yeah, Big M girls and, you know, just doing, it was not dissimilar to the way they promoted Coca-Cola. It was like doing, you know, people jumping into water.
Healthy.
And riding around in convertibles near the beach, the whole thing. A lot like you and I when we were young.
Yeah.
You know, yeah.
Well, you were like a beach person. We used to go to the beach a lot. Yeah, it's true. But we love Big M. But
if I was to go to your fridge now, would I find chocolate milk?
No,
I don't reckon I would. I reckon I'd find some Activide or Milo, and you would make your own.
We make our own. And even to this day, chocolate was never my favourite flavour. I was a banana guy. I was banana Big M. Banana Big M guy. And when Blueberry Big M came out for a while, I was a Blueberry Big M guy. Then they stopped it.
Because I reckon we have the scene, right? And there's all the Big M girls hanging around, all the Big M guys hanging around. And then Dave comes over. They're all drinking chocolate milk. And then Dave comes over and goes.
No, I think some of the girls will be drinking strawberry.
Okay, some of the girls drinking strawberry. But then Dave comes over and he wants to join the gang. And they say, what are you drinking, Dave? I'm drinking Banana Big M. No, mate.
No, mate. No, get out.
No, you're not part of it. What do you mean? Got to drink chocolate, mate. You got to drink the chocolate.
Chocolate was the masculine flavour. Chocolate.
Yeah, banana is not a. Yeah. No.
Yeah. I would say the surfies were all chocolate Big M. Some of the girls, strawberry, and then outliers, banana. And then there was also egg flip. Oh, but egg flip was a bit.
Oh, egg flip. Egg flip. Spawn. Yeah. Did it have a bit of cinnamon in it?
And yes.
Oh, my mum used to make me an egg flip. I remember that now.
Yeah.
And that was kind of like a standby lunch in a way because I had the egg in it and used to drink it down. But sometimes the egg would sort of stay in. If you hadn't whisked it properly, you'd be drinking it, milk, and then you go, oh, here comes a bit of blump of egg. Oh, down in one go. Not good.
Yeah, it's funny. Chocolate milk was so big, but now you go into 7-Eleven or whatever, and there's so many different types of chocolate milk now, and there's a lot of coffee and heaps of iced coffee. Because iced coffee was another macho flavor, I reckon. I reckon you could be drinking iced coffee and be concerned.
Iced coffee's okay. Yeah, that's all right. Yeah.
It's not like banana. No. Like banana. Oh, man. Tell you what though, you have a flavoured milk and it's still good to this day. Still good.
That's always good. Yeah. Are they all fat? They're all full fat, aren't they? Do you get a skinny chocolate? I don't think you do.
Possibly. You must be able to buy that. You like Dare or one of those ones. Surely the
Oak.
Surely.
Oak does.
Yeah, Oak is a big one, isn't it?
Paul's, I think, do something. Does Cadbury's do a chocolate milk? I don't know. Well, they probably do.
Never seen. Because Big M for a while was only Victoria, because milk was very state-based for some reason.
I reckon that'd be interesting for you to be like a wine taster. You could be a chocolate milk taster. You could bring in, you'd be an expert. That's something that's undervalued, I think.
We once interviewed the guy who flavoured the Big M's.
Of course you did.
And he wore a white coat, and he came in and he talked about notes of flavour, and he'd go like, this is a new one I'm working on. This is like a coconut note. And he would let you taste it, and... Gee, it was amazing. And he had all these different flavors. He had like pina colada and really weird flavors. Because they would occasionally bring out flavors. Like for a while, they had bullet flavor in Big M's, which is licorice and chocolate. Big M.
The undernote. What do you call it? The undertone?
The notes. The notes.
The top note, the bottom notes.
Yeah,
you know.
What note? What note are we talking there? You love it.
It's like, because Russell Court put out a fragrance for men, and it was the top notes were like diesel and the bottom notes were like kerosene. And
The notes.
The middle notes were a bit of roadkill smell. Okay.
Sloan's. Let's do Sloan's. Now, Sloan Rangers.
I think she means Sloan Rangers. That's
like
a dye. Is that a British yuppie? We don't have Sloan's here.
No, we don't. Similar. But it's all based around a place in England. I've been there, of course, Sloane Square in Chelsea, I think it is, or Kensington.
And is that where a type would hang?
Rich kids.
Like Lady Di was Lady a Di. Sloane, was Lady a Sloane Di. Ranger, wasn't she?
Yeah, she's the best example. Or who are those women who did What Not to Wear? Trini and Susanna. They were Sloane Rangers, former Sloane Rangers.
And they still exist, don't they?
Well, you know, I mean, you live near Brighton. Brighton people are a bit Sloan Rangery.
Well, you know what? It's Ralph Lauren, Lacoste, you know, boat shoes, you know, tweed, polo, you know, all that sort of stuff.
Yeah.
You know, what do you call it? Like a Lacoste shirt with the collar up.
Yeah.
A pastel jumper tied across your shoulders.
Yes.
With a pair of white pants. Whoops, wealthy. That's what I'm wearing today.
Wealthy kind of private school kids is what they were in England. And in England, the class is really defined. Not a bit different here, I reckon, but in England, it's very upper class.
But what's interesting is it's very brand orientated. And that's what, let's be honest, what a lot of people want to see themselves, give themselves value by As a friend of mine said, why would you want to be a walking advertisement? Because you've got a brand on you. You're going, oh, well, I'm worthy because I'm wearing a brand. You're going, well, you know, I got to say, I'm happy with what I can get down at Big W. I've got a windcheater from Big W and a pair of jeans, branding is interesting, is that people often value themselves in terms of their brand. And if you can get a brand, and I must admit, I drive an Audi, so I'm a bit of a wanker.
You're Bayside.
I'm Bayside. But I don't wear Ralph Lauren or Lacoste, and I don't wear boat shoes.
Yeah, I've never seen you with a jumper around your shoulders. I've never seen you with
that. No, I'm surfy, around the waist. So, yeah, look, I am in an area that there is a fair bit of that, but you do see it with the, you don't see it so much with the younger generation. You kind of see older yuppies now. They're in their 60s, 70s.
Well, like we were watching Kath and Kim the other night, Prue and True. They're like Prue Slow Rangers.
Absolutely.
Oh, my God. Absolutely. People that speak like that. Oh, my God.
Yeah. And, you know, so.
Interesting, but I don't know what else about. I just remember, in the 80s when people would talk about them, and then people on comedy shows like Harry Enfield would take them and do characters based on them and take the Mickey out of them, you know, like posh, dumb, rich people kind of, they used to do
And
people talked about it, and you saw photos in the paper and stuff, and they'd all hang around Sloane Square and that sort of Chelsea, Kensington area. It's quite wealthy. So,
and is it like pearl necklaces? Or is it like twin sets and stuff like that? And pearl necklaces? And surely those people must have realized that they were just becoming, I suppose they became part of a group, so they felt reassured by that. But didn't they realize they were becoming a cliche?
I know, but they didn't. But they didn't realize that. That class of people have been doing it for years. And then when only someone pointed out in the magazine and gave them the name, that's how it all happened, and they sort of got labelled, you know what I mean, all their Sloane Rangers. Because when you go there now, you don't see many of them around. There's none of them around anymore, and it's sort of faded. It's like going to Chapel Street or Oxford Street in Sydney where you go, oh, this, you can tell this used to be good around here, but it's sort of passed its by.
It's moved on.
Yeah,
that's interesting.
Yeah, it's like empty shops and stuff. And you know those areas that, you remember when we were growing up, Toorak Road was a big, in Melbourne, was a big trendy area to go and hang out, and
I must admit, Chapel Street. Geez, I would love to see you dressed as a yuppie. I would love to see you in a pair of Lacoste, a Lacoste shirt, Ralph Lauren jumper, pair of boat shoes, pair of loafers. I don't know, white loafers maybe. I don't know.
Definitely for a while dressed a bit like that because someone sent me a photo of me at uni when I did my public relations course at a party, and I was wearing a white skivvy and a white jacket.
I think I've seen that photograph.
And I had nice hair, and my hair hasn't really changed.
You've always had good hair. Yeah.
I had I had good hair for a Sloane Ranger. I've got the right hair. So have you. You've got the right hair. But
I have. I know I have.
Also,
yeah.
we all wanted to hang out with rich girls. That was.
Yeah, and we've all gone through a period where we want to be part of a brand. We also we go through a period where when I wear a certain brand of wetsuit because I'm old man surfy. I like to have a little logo on there to go, hey, I'm wearing a cool brand. So I am guilty of Rip Curls.
I know it happened to you, but once I started going to uni, and because we were both sort of from the outer suburbs, you met girls from those posher areas.
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
And you go to their houses, and the big difference was they had double-story houses. We came from single-story houses.
Yeah, absolutely. And I didn't really know that, they had special, like you go into their house and they have like almost a ballroom. They have chandeliers. And stuff, you're going, wow.
I remember going to one of for a party, and the dad was sitting in the study, like in a movie, because we didn't have a study. And they did speak a bit like that. They spoke a bit posh.
Yeah.
So, what are you doing? Yes. Anyway, so a bit like Lady Di. Lady Di was a classic Sloane Ranger.
But, have you got any idea what it might be?
No. Well, what's the connection between? I can't imagine the Sloane Rangers going to Jamaica. I don't think they'd rather go to, I don't know, where do they go for holidays? Balmoral with the Queen.
Well, that's what I was thinking. I was thinking that in my answer. Maybe we should have some think music.
Yeah. Okay.
Yeah. So we go. Do you want to go with Lime Fresh?
Lime Fresh, man. Yeah.
Fresh lime. Okay.
Fresh lime.
For the older audience, you'll enjoy it. For the younger audience, this is what.
Well, it's great. This is what used to be advertising in the 80s, late 70s, early 80s.
Lime Fresh!
For the very first time, I'm soaked with streaks of lime. Makes your skin feel alive.
It's all Lime Fresh!
Fresh lime.
Delicious streaks of lime make Lime Fresh so fresh it tingles, and the freshness stays with you all day.
Lime Fresh!
Fresh lime.
Yeah.
Nah, that was good. That gets
good,
your tape
good
tapping.
Good tune, good tune.
Good stuff. They're all on a yacht.
They're on a yacht, jumping, yeah, if you've seen
jumping
the
around on a yacht, yeah. And they had the steel drums going and the hat.
And they had some actual Jamaican-looking people, so they would have, I don't know where they filmed it, but they would have struggled to find them in Australia, I reckon. They would have put the casting call out. There used to be a Jamaican guy who worked in radio and he did voiceover and stuff. I bet you he's the one who does. He used to be like a Black Thunder pilot too. I can't remember his name, but he got a lot of work just doing voiceovers because of his great voice.
Absolutely. Mm. Okay. Okay.
So what's the connection?
I'm trying to think. This is like tapping your stomach and tapping your head and rubbing your stomach, trying to work.
So Jamaica and chocolate milk. There must be a connection there.
There's a connection there. I reckon that. Do you want to go first?
No.
Okay. I'm going to go against what you said. I'm going to say the Sloanes for a time, like what's her name did in The Crown.
Yes, Margaret.
Margaret.
Princess Margaret.
Sort of, it was the cool place to go, and they were drinking, the Sloanes were in Jamaica drinking the local chocolate milk, and they didn't like it. So they added milk to it to make it more, you know, Sloaney, and they bought it back to the UK, and that's where chocolate milk started. That's a pretty broad answer, I know, but I reckon a group of people have gone to Jamaica and seen the milk or had the milk, the chocolate milk there, which didn't taste very good, but it was because they farmed cocoa.
Yeah, right.
So what do you think? Is something similar?
Similar. I think it's got something to do with the name Sloane, because I know Sloane is a person, and I don't know when they were around, but I reckon I think it's a man, he is the connecting factor here. And it's just a namesake thing. I reckon Sloane Rangers were named after him because of Sloane Square. Because you know how places like Bourke Street Mall are named after...
Yep.
He's a former explorer or something. I reckon Sloane was a former explorer. And he is Jamaican, and he discovered milk, chocolate milk.
And where did he
discover? Maybe he's a famous Jamaican. Yeah.
You think Sloane's a famous Jamaican?
Yeah.
And where's he from? So he's from Jamaica, and he came and
I don't know. He brought chocolate milk to England. Yes. Because you know they brought ska music and stuff to England, so why not?
Yeah, they were on the same
why
track
not?
Here.
Yeah. All right. Well, Sam, you've given us a January challenge. What is the answer, Sam?
Hans Sloane was a British physician, naturalist and collector born in 1660. He moved to Jamaica as the physician for the British governor of Jamaica after they took it from the Spanish. While he was there, he discovered the cocoa was mixed with water as a drink and eventually created a recipe for chocolate milk. Hans Sloane is also the namesake for Sloane Square and a wealthy part of London. Sloane Square and Lone Ranger all combined to create a Sloane Ranger, a particular type of wealthy kid getting around London or sometimes adult. There you go.
Right. Yeah, he was British. He wasn't Jamaican.
Yeah, well done.
You have been listening to Somehow Related with Glenn Robbins and Dave O'Neill.
So Sloane chocolate milk. I've never heard of Sloane chocolate milk.
No, I don't think you get
it. So you reckon that's day one for chocolate milk?
Well, I mean, surely other people had the idea to put milk and chocolate. No. But he is the one credited with it because they used his name to market it. So good on him. And then all those years later, there were Sloane Rangers walking around. They probably had no idea that chocolate milk had anything to do with their namesake. So we've learned something today. We really have.
We really have. So next time you're hanging around with your friends drinking some chocolate milk, you know, eating a pie.
Bring it up.
And there's a few yuppies there with their collars popped up and jumpers tied around their shoulders. Say to them, did you realize that?
Well, you know what you say to them. Have you watched the latest series of The Crown? And they're like, yeah. You know Lady Di? Yeah. You know she was a Sloane Ranger? They're like, yeah. Yeah. Was she? Most people won't even know what that means. You go, she's like a yuppie. She used to live in Earl's Court. Remember she lived in Earl's Court and Princess Margaret said, You know, she's living with a friend. What is she living with? What'd she say? Is she living with prostitutes and Australians?
That's yeah.
And that's where you say, yeah, she was a Sloan Ranger, and that the guy that Sloan Rangers are named after also invented that milk you're drinking.
Yeah, I reckon about halfway through that, the person you're talking to probably wandered off.
Yeah.
I reckon because you were meant to work at the Brighton Yacht Club. This is a nice callback.
Yeah.
And I reckon this is great material for you next time you're doing a gig at the Brighton Yacht Club. Because I live in the area. You do gigs in the area. I've had my photograph taken. Oh, this is brilliant. So you can look up, you can see a photograph of me outside the Brighton Yacht Club. And you can think of Dave on the inside
on the
doing
stage.
Jokes about chocolate milk.
And you know the biggest laugh I got? The biggest laugh I got the last time I performed, I said, you know, you're in Brighton when the guys' wives look like their daughters. And that got a huge laugh. they're not scared of a bit of plastic surgery down there, are they?
I'm not saying anything.
Not saying nothing. And for people in Sydney, it's like Double Bay or somewhere.
As long as they're happy and they're being nice to one another, it's okay.
Exactly.
They can do what they like, you know.
They are very attractive, those people.
Yeah. We've painted ourselves into a corner here.